This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Coming up on today's Federal Newscast, more in-office requirements coming for Department of Education employees. One senator wants to make sure all feds have a legal right to blow the whistle if needed. And the Secret Service is starting preparations for welcoming soccer fans from around the world. These stories and more in today's Federal Newscast. Welcome to today's episode of the Federal Newscast. I'm Eric White. Many, but not all, employees at the Education Department will soon have higher in-the-office requirements. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona announced a new return-to-office policy of 5 days per two-week pay period. Up until now, teleworking feds have had to report on-site 4 days per pay period. The change applies to all non-bargaining unit employees, supervisors, managers, and executives at education. The new policy takes effect April 22nd. Bargaining unit employees at education won't see any changes, at least until union negotiations are complete. After getting new requirements to try to improve relationships with their unions, agencies now have more guidance and a deadline. Federal News Network's Drew Friedman explains.
The Office of Personnel Management is offering more details on how to create a better relationship between managers and federal employees. Some of the more formative parts of that relationship can come from the use of labor management forums. The forums are meant to be an opportunity for managers and employees to discuss solutions to workplace challenges. An executive order earlier this month called on agencies to recreate the forums after they were previously revoked during the Trump administration. Now, in collaboration with their unions, agencies have a six-month deadline to submit an implementation plan to OPM. It'll have to detail how they plan to establish and use those labor management forums moving forward. Drew Friedman, Federal News Network.
Federal employees have a right to be whistleblowers, even under their agency's non-disclosure policies. Co-chairman of the Senate Whistleblower Protection Caucus, Chuck Grassley, is asking all 74 federal inspectors general to ensure their agencies have these anti-gag policies in place. Grassley says federal employees, by law, have a right to report fraud, waste, and abuse to Congress and oversight bodies without retaliation, even in cases where it would otherwise be illegal to disclose that information. Postal unions and lawmakers rally behind a bipartisan bill that seeks harsher penalties for criminals who rob or attack letter carriers. Federal News Network's Jory Heckman has more.
The Protect Our Letter Carriers Act amends federal sentencing guidelines to treat the assault of a postal worker with the same severity as assaulting a police officer. It would also require the Justice Department to designate assistant U.S. attorneys across the country to supervise the investigation and prosecution of postal crimes. More than 2,000 robberies and attempted robberies of letter carriers have happened since 2020. Congressman Brian Fitzpatrick is leading the bill and expects it'll pass later this year.
This is a no-brainer. I can't imagine anybody being opposed to it.
Jory Heckman, Federal News Network.
The Office of Management and Budget is taking two new steps to strengthen the domestic manufacturing supply chain. First, the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and the Made in America Office issued a new memo letting agencies buy certain products using an enhanced price preference. OFPP says this benefit will help to better manage and mitigate supply chain risks for domestic products. Second, OMB issued a notice to industry from DHS, HHS, and VA forecasting their need to buy personal protective equipment, or PPEs. The buying agencies also are seeking feedback on a PPE white paper and will hold meetings with industry in the coming months to discuss their plans. Kara Abercrombie was sworn in as Assistant Secretary of Defense for Acquisition. Federal News Network's Anastasia Obis has more.
Kara Abercrombie has officially assumed the role of Assistant Secretary of Defense for Acquisition. In this role, she will be responsible for establishing policy and overseeing an acquisition system through which the Defense Department spends more than $500 billion a year. During her confirmation hearing, she pledged to focus on increasing the speed of acquisition, reducing barriers for non-traditional suppliers, and developing talented workforce. Prior to her appointment, she served as Deputy Assistant to the President and Coordinator for Defense Policy and Arms Control on the National Security Council. Anastasia Obis, Federal News Network.
The Army lays out five pillars to reform how it buys, develops, and manages software. Federal News Network's Jason Miller tells us more about that.
Army CIO Leo Garciga calls the new software policy signed out by Secretary Christine Wormuth part of how the service is moving to phase two of its digital transformation strategy. Garciga says similar to what the Army did for cloud services 3 years ago, it's doing the same thing for software. The policy details five focus areas, ranging from changing the way the Army writes requirements, to emphasizing flexible acquisition approaches, to adopting a software sustainment model. Garciga says the Army Contracting Command in Aberdeen, Maryland, will help lead this effort as the Software Digital Center of Excellence. Jason Miller, Federal News Network.
The Office of Strategic Capital has identified areas where it seeks to attract private capital. The office's investment priorities, outlined in a recently released strategy, includes quantum computing, autonomous systems, cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, and semiconductors. The office will work with the Small Business Administration to pair private capital with government-backed loans to increase investment in critical technology areas. The new strategy is part of the department-wide effort to bring in more private investment. The Pentagon is seeking $144 million for the Office of Strategic Capital in fiscal 2025. Some Department of Homeland Security components are looking to ramp up hiring in 2025. Federal News Network's Justin Doubleday reports.
Customs and Border Protection wants $210 million to hire 350 new Border Patrol agents and hundreds more support staff in fiscal 2025. The budget wish list comes as Congress has yet to finalize a 2024 appropriations bill for CBP and other DHS components. The Transportation Security Administration also wants to add a couple thousand more airport screening officers and other employees next year. TSA says more staff is needed to respond to a record increase in air travel. Justin Doubleday, Federal News Network.
And the Secret Service is warming up plans for one of the biggest sporting events in the world. The agency's $3 billion proposed budget the agency's $3 billion proposed budget for 2025 includes $16 million to support planning for the 2026 FIFA World Cup. The funds would be used to buy equipment and set up communication centers in the 11 U.S. cities where World Cup matches will take place. The Secret Service and the Department of Homeland Security are typically involved in securing major national events, ranging from presidential inaugurations to the Super Bowl. You can find more information about these stories at federalnewsnetwork.com, search Federal Newscast, and subscribe to the Federal Newscast wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Eric White.